Welcome to a new episode of the China Flexpat Podcast. Today we have a very special guest who came to China in the 80s and he is going to retire in China, which is a dream for many flexpats. And today we want to discuss how to do this, how the whole story started, and what we can learn from our guest. Welcome, Volker.
Yeah, thank you very much for your invitation. And I'm happy that I can join your podcast that I paying attention to for quite a long while. And I'm very glad to share my experience. Yeah, well, I'm graduated 1984 in Braunschweig in a German university. I got a diploma as an electrical engineer. And my focus was artificial vision, artificial intelligence, what is quite popular now, but was very special at that time. I worked 3 years in a German company, and then I wanted to see China in 87. I went to Chongqing University, became a job as a research assistant. And I was, in a certain way, I came to China too early. In the early 90s, it was not possible for foreigners to get a regular job at a Chinese university. So I had to enter the business world. And then in the 1990s, I became chief representative of a German startup company in China. Then in 2000, that was a total reset of my career. First, I moved to Beijing. And the second, I started a career in the medical device industry, where I ever worked since 2000. I worked for one of the largest German medical device manufacturer. I worked for an SME for which I established a factory here in Beijing. I also worked for a Chinese company. And finally, the last years, I worked in the European Chamber of Commerce, where I was responsible for medical devices and the Chinese healthcare reform. And last year, I retired, but I'm still willing to support Chinese European cooperation, of course, especially in the field of healthcare.
I really like your attitude because you came as a researcher or with university background and then tried to go into business later. Let's talk about one setback, which could be healthcare. What is the challenge in the Chinese healthcare system and how can companies and flexpats deal with this?
China, in a large way, simulated the German social security system. So similar like in Germany, when you are employee of a company in China, you pay social security contributions. Part is paid by the company, part is deducted from your salary. So in the moment, depends a bit on the location, about 38% of your salary is paid to the Chinese social security system. So that is senior citizen, it's retirement fund, it's healthcare, unemployment security, and 38% on top of your net payment. This is quite a heavy burden on the company. There are in the moment now certain policies, especially to support small or medium enterprises after COVID. So after COVID, SMEs only pay less contributions. But in general, it's about 38%. It's an open secret that many Chinese companies don't pay the full contribution. What they are doing is they report a lower salary. Don't do that because it's illegal. And often in China, authorities pay more attention to foreign invested companies than to local companies. And if it comes out that you don't comply with the legal regulations, you may be fined or in the worst case, your company may be shut down. Each month you have to pay the social security contributions. Especially healthcare is not as good as you may be used to it in Central or Northern Europe, because simply the average salary is in China is much lower than it is in Europe. So there are caps, so there are maximum payments. If you get really have a very serious surgery or a long-term illness, so there's a maximum that the healthcare insurance will pay in China. And if your medical bill exceeds that, then you have to pay it by your own.
Why did you pick this industry and enter the healthcare job market in China?
In 2000, there were several multiple crises. There was the Asian financial crisis. There was the IT, the worldwide IT crisis. And then an additional factor, I was a chief representative of a German startup a company, and this startup company was bought by a huge multinational company, and the result was that our Shanghai office was closed down, and I had to look for a new job. And then it was quite interesting. I was browsing through job offers, and then I saw a large medical device company, and one of their products was at a very early stage employing artificial vision. So this actually was my specialty, not used for industrial applications, but used for medical application. Let's say, so just the field of application is different, but it's my specialty. So I applied for that job, and then I became a chief representative of that medical company in Beijing. And since that time, I'm working in the field of medical devices.
So this sounds like a very interesting job transition. So how did you prepare for this job, and how did you show your value as a flexpat?
Of course, I had a job interview with the CEO, and what the CEO wanted, I think, can say three words. He was looking for a bilingual German engineer, and that, I think, even today, it was not so easy to find. One of my main tasks was to establish a registration department for medical devices. Each kind of medical device needs a market approval from the Chinese authorities, needs an approval, a market approval by the National Medical Product Administration before it can enter the market. So this job to set up these, to develop this registration department, at first it required someone who is able to talk with the Chinese authorities. So therefore, someone is needed or was needed who speaks Chinese. To get this market approval, you need a very close communication with the German headquarters, because you have to submit a lot of documents, of technical documents, so that the Chinese side can evaluate that your medical device is safe and official. To talk with the headquarters, it really is an advantage that you are German. Even if the company says our language, our international language is English, registration, market approval has to be done worldwide. And if you can communicate in German with your headquarters, you will get the first priority. And people from Korea or India who only speak English, they will and will get a lower priority when the people from the headquarters have to cooperate with you. And then, because in a very broad sense, getting approval for medical devices, this is a technical job. You have to convince the Chinese authorities that your design, your product design is safe, that it's efficient. And there you need a broad technical understanding, and therefore it was important that I had a background in engineering. So bilingual, German, being German, and engineers, these were the three factors.
But that time you were already in China for about 15 years, I think.
Yeah, 13 years.
You were transitioning from Shanghai to Beijing. You were an expert in engineering and healthcare, but you were also speaking Mandarin, and you were willing to live in China a long time. So do you think this has changed to today, 20 years later? So if I would now apply for the same job with the same background, would they still take a German? Or would they say now it's okay if a Chinese person takes the job?
My successor was a Chinese. I think it's a tendency that the job market is not so much separated between Chinese and foreigners as it used to be. So for quite a lot of jobs, you can apply both being a Chinese and both being a foreigner. And the thing is simply that the number of bilingual foreign or German engineers in China is rather limited. So it's really too difficult to find such people. Also, the other way around, there are a lot of Chinese students who studied engineering and in Germany, speak fluent German, have the background of German engineering, and now are coming back to China. And this is for such kind of position, this is certainly a very good qualification.
So how did you make this work, to work among Chinese colleagues and to, like you said, to communicate between all parties and make sure everybody gets what they need?
I mean, what I was, my mindset or my attitude was always, I am not different. Certainly in the 1980s, in the 1990s, people were very much impressed by the European level of engineering. But I always said, when I am a leader of a project group, or when I'm a manager, I have my authority because of professional qualification, not because of being a foreigner. And this was always what I wanted. I wanted to be integrated. I did not say I'm in any way different. I always wanted to be and became a part of the team. And my attitude was not being different from those people around me.
And today, what would you say? What are more important for such a job? Soft skills, communication skills, or are you just related to also technical skills that you can communicate with headquarters, explain them something exactly? What is more important in this case?
As an engineer, what you have to learn, you always have to find a solution. And this was an approach that I also was using to known technical tasks. So, for example, if you get a market approval for a medical product, it's simply the same. You have to find a solution to get this market approval. You have to get it in a given time to have it, have to get it with limited resources. Many of Chinese politicians on top level and also on local level, they have a background of engineering, and they are also used to this approach to find solutions in a reliable manner. And so they're always often speaking with Chinese government people, talking from engineer to engineer, then you have the feeling that you have a similar mindset.
How do you feel now that you can communicate in so many languages? How does it affect your life that you have now in China, that you're able to speak the language?
I came to China when I was 28, and now I'm living in China for 37 years. At home and with my colleagues and my neighbors and in the market, I don't feel as I am an outsider. Sometimes I think it's also your own attitude. When you have an attitude that you don't feel to be an outsider, people won't treat you as an outsider. So it's really very rare that anyone approaches me in English, or everyone says, "Oh, your Chinese is so very good," because all in my people in my environment are used to them that I speak Chinese.
And now you're going to retire in China. So how did you plan this? And what's your feeling if you look down for the next 10 years? So how do you imagine retiring in China, something which nearly no other flexpat has done so far?
When I came to China, I had a 1-year contract, and I never could imagine at that time in the 1980s that I would retire in China. Gradually, I became used to that idea. Well, I had several years to become prepared. I'm still quite fit. I made the decision to retire in Beijing, because I lived here for the last 20 plus years. There were certainly other options to go to Chongqing or to go to Guangdong, what is the old home of my wife. It's, I think, not so different from retirement in other places. You need something to be kept busy. Certainly, when you are now over 60, you have to invest more time on fitness, going to fitness studio. Then you still have something to do. I mean, I'm still ready to use my qualification, my special know-how to support Chinese European cooperation, especially in the field of healthcare. And sometimes I'm invited to give lectures that Chinese authority are still very much interested how the healthcare reform is working in Europe, and Chinese companies are interested how the European market is working. So I give trainings for them. So this is something what still keeps me busy.
What is different now? You don't work for money, but you still work. So is it really different that you retired compared to what you were doing before when you were getting paid?
The difference is the freedom that I have. When I was working for an institution, I had to work in line with the policies of the institution. And even sometimes, if I have my personal opinions or my certain experience was which is not in line with the organization, I still had to speak in behalf of the organization. And now I'm free. I just can more or less say what I want to say and write what I want to write. And I can arrange my time. I can work, get up at noon and work still at night. So this feeling of freedom, this is something what I like in my retirement.
So what's your advice to me? I'm 40. Now, so I guess I have more than 20 years to go, unless I want to retire early. So what's your advice to me that I can retire in China and also have such a freedom of what I do and how I enjoy my life?
I'm not so worried about you. We don't have any idea how China, how the world will look in 20 years. There may be earthquake and there may be even war. Even if you are working in a very good company, have a very good company now, you cannot guarantee that your job will exist in 5 years or 10 years later. Be flexible. It also means to keep or get information on developments of your company. When you prepare for your things, for your life after retirement, the first thing is, of course, you have to look, you have to ensure your residence permit. A very practical question, especially if your wife is not Chinese or your family is not Chinese. You have to ensure that you have your permanent resident when you retire. I mean, we don't know what the policy will be 20 years later, but at least today this is still a challenge. You have to look for your income after retirement. At least now, Chinese old age pensions are limited. So at least I advise to buy an apartment in China, so that you have a secure place where you are living and don't have to think about paying rent when you are retired. And then you have to think, for example, if you retire with 65, and you may live until 95. This is not unrealistic today, and you have to make a plan, maybe look for consultants and professional, how you ensure your income, your basic living after your time, after retirement.
We hope to hear and see much more from you going forward. So I recommend all the audience to reach out to you and follow you, especially the Germans, because there's so much that you can do for Germans to better understand China. But we really hope that especially young people can reach out to you, understand your passion for China and your lifestyle choices, and learn from you. And then maybe this can help us all to be more flexible. Volker, is there anything else you would like to leave the audience with? Any idea, any suggestion for a flexpat career?
So when I look back this 37 years, when things are really going bad in China, you never feel alone. But the precondition for that is, of course, that you get integrated. And my mindset always be, when talking about China, when talking about the Chinese, I never said they, I always said we. I always had the mindset to be part of this, part of the development, sharing the happy moment, sharing also the maybe sad and challenging moments. And if you really become part of this, I think this is the basic life to be successful and live a good life. In a certain way, the number of flexpats in China is low. This may be a challenge, but also it may be an opportunity. When you see all the stories about xenophobia in many European countries, you really can say we can be glad that we have this welcoming environment in China, and let's work together to make China an even better place. And if you say you may have 20 years before retirement, the development of China will create additional opportunities for you personally and for all the other flexpats. So the development of China and your personal development, these are always intertwined. Say we and don't say them.
Say we and don't say them. This is a wonderful ending for our episode. Thank you very much, Volker. 谢谢 and 再见.
再见.
Please help us and tell your friends about this episode. Tell them to listen to this episode to learn about a whole career in China from a young age, less than 30, to retirement. And you can reach out to both me and to Volker, and I will put everything in the show notes. So we only need you to take the time to tell your friends about us. And this would be really nice.